Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, a new door, new window, new set of windows can do a lot of things. It can change the look, change the vibe, change the feeling of your home. Plus, it can do two other pretty important things. It can add value to your home and can make your home more energy efficient. Pella checks all those boxes and then some. And just, you better understand that working with the people at Pella, second to none. I mean, Vince, Brian, all those guys, I mean, they are fantastic. They can provide window and door solutions to any home. So now is the time. Turn your window and door remodeling dreams into a reality with Pella. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That is PellaOmaha.com. All right, finally, after a long wait and a little bit of delay and a lot of anxiety and a lot of wondering, the Big Ten finally announced their football schedule, and it was really exciting to actually see a schedule in place with dates and opponents and all that. Bo Rude and I sat down, and we break it all down for Nebraska. This was fun. Of course, it goes off the rails numerous times, including right off the bat, but this was a blast. So let's get to it. Me, Bo, talking Nebraska football official schedule being released. Enjoy. Well, we are here, Nicholas Allen Bobo, Robert Rude. It is Wednesday, August 5th, and we could be drinking wine right now to celebrate the release of a schedule, but you got some business meeting you got to do. I can't have you crocoed to go to a business meeting, Doug.
It is noon on a Wednesday, so as much as I'd like to be just absolutely cashed right now, my customers will know.
Well, what's funny is, I don't know what this really says about us. Like, second the schedule got announced, you know, I tweeted, like, recording a pod with Bo later and all that stuff, and I was getting flipped, like, you guys gonna drink wine? You drinking wine? You guys gonna booze? I feel like people wanted us to be boozing, but what are you going to do?
It's been a while since we've done a wine pod.
It's been a long time, Doug.
Well, we need to do one.
We have a lot of things. I'm pumped, man. I with the release of the schedule today, my morale. Now, I just had a kid, so you would think having a child, the morale would be higher.
Let's be honest. I want you to be really honest right now. I want some real honesty. What's got you most excited this summer so far?
Nebraska Rutgers, the announcement of that going on. But honestly, now,
Nick, morale around the state, like if there was a meter, maybe it went to orange. Not quite red. Red
screw
means
the COVID meter. We're at red for morale.
Yeah,
right,
so
now
we're at orange. Red is when we actually are at a Husker game. We're at a red for morale, which means like
that's how it feels right
off.
Now. That's it.
I'm pretty excited.
I mean, this. My sports morale. My sports morale is high. I mean, you and I don't know, NBA back.
I watched a little bit last night. Even though it's a little funky with no fans. And
it takes some getting used to,
but it's still fun just to watch.
Oh man, and maybe it's because like you know when you haven't like I don't know, you haven't done something in a while, and you go and it's like almost like a sensory overload. You're like, oh god, like I haven't watched sports and basketball like
is there
that.
A clean up an aisle.
Oh, I'm like. Like, all right, here's the Lakers. I'm like, oh, yeah. God, hold on a minute. Oh. And LeBron James. I'm like, oh, God, hold on a second. Give me a minute.
That was
hold
a
on.
Heck of a reverse layup.
Oh, and Damian Lillard. I'm like, oh, God, that's not good. That's what's happening.
What just happened there?
We're 2 minutes in, and I almost feel like we've got to edit all this out. But that's what's happening, though, right? It's been a long time, and your boy's a little susceptible. You know what I'm saying? What is happening? This is your fault. You're the only one that brings this out of me. When I do pods with other guys, I'm like, how are you, Eric Crouch? How are you, Steve Sipple?
I know, but let's just edit the heck out
No, we're keeping it in. It's all good, Doug. Okay. Because I think people can relate. Like, the morale is high.
Morale is high. That's where we started.
That's what, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, it's August 5th, so 1 month from now, Nebraska's going to play a football game. Oh, wow. 1 month from now.
Is that on the 5th of September?
Oh, yeah. September 5th, brother, three days after your birthday.
Gosh.
Should we go on a 4 or 5 day birthday celebration for you and just like start it on September 2nd? Let it just like let the party rage on until we're done with the Rutgers game?
I think so, because there's going to be a lot to celebrate.
Oh, my God. I mean, the bottom line is, think about this. Nebraska's opponent, 1 month. They can start game planning and getting ready for that game. And camp starts on Friday. Like, these dudes are going to start like playing football.
So,
this is great.
So they announced the schedule, but nobody, and correct me wrong, nobody's mentioned a word yet on what the stadium situation is.
No,
right?
that has not
been announced. There's no numbers on that. So right now all we know is they're going to try to play players only as of now.
I want to say there's been a handful, like Illinois announced 20%, like a couple of places have announced capacity, you know, and then the joke writes itself for Illinois. It's like 20% capacity, like, so it's normal for you guys.
Like, ooh, increase, huh? Good for you. Yeah.
You notice all the crap schools were the first ones to be like,
no, we'll take 20.
Here at Kansas University, I am Mayor Quimby, and I'd like to announce we're doing 10% capacity. Nobody comes to the games.
Yeah, we'll take 20%. Don't tell them that that's more than we usually get. Don't tell anyone.
What is our normal capacity? That's irrelevant to the question.
I don't appreciate these insinuations.
Because like, I like how Bill Moose, with every question about it, he's like, we're hoping for full capacity. Moose is always pushing, like, well, I don't know. We might add on to the stadium, man. Check it out.
I Moose is the perfect guy because he's a rancher. And I feel like COVID is one of those things he's like, they had cows that had, you know, foot and mouth disease and mad cow disease, and
we kind of just
went with it as it came. So
we had a couple cows get sick one time, kept them out of the pen for about 5-10 days. We were full capacity moving forward for the rest of the fall.
We got the herd from Washington all the way down to the panhandle of Oklahoma. It was really no problem. So, and we're going to handle it the same exact way. That's my philosophy.
Moose just relates everything to a ranch and how it would be handled on the ranch. And then it's just.
That's why we like him, because he's going
to
just.
He brings it back to the ranch. There's a simplicity to the ranch that the world needs, right?
But he's also not. I feel like Moose doesn't pander to like scientists and Washington. So. Yeah, that's a good. That's good. But what about what happened to my ranch?
On a Zoom call, you have an infectious disease expert. Moose is chiming in with thoughts on what happened on his ranch. That's fantastic.
Why we love Bill Moose.
Oh, God, I'm sweating. I can't believe how this started.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, man, I'm going to regret the first 2 minutes of this pod. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about with everything with the schedule. The first thing we wanted to hit on, I mean, so the structure of it, starting September 5th. Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, he talked about today on BTN how it gives them the maximum amount of flexibility, which I think is smart. I basically now you have 14 weeks to play 10 games, pretty much. That's how it would kind of compute. There's even an open date the week before the Big Ten title, which is on December 5th. So all reality, you could there are a lot of options with bye weeks, open dates, different things where you're going to be able to get – or at least give yourself the best chance to get in your full schedule.
Now explain to me again, you said that there is, they synced up the schedule a certain way?
Well, so reading this morning, there was this, I love stuff like this. So this reading from Sam McEwen's article. The final iteration of the 2020 Big Ten fall football schedule was nicknamed Jenga 41. I think that was Bill Moose's idea. Ranch 40.
He plays a lot of Jenga on the ranch. Like, I've got it.
Well, we've never.
Everyone's looking around the room. It's like, Bill's got another idea.
Okay.
You got to stop it. I'm not going to be able to get through this, bro. We haven't even gotten to like the meaty stuff. The idea that Bill Moose is on Zoom calls and just making ranch suggestions.
Get back.
Oh, Lord. I'm sweating and crying. Okay. So anyways, we good? Are we good to go? We're fine, aren't we?
All right.
So the schedule is nicknamed Jenga 41 by the league office. It has 41 collapsible games, meaning the two teams have an idle week in common for which the game can be rescheduled on or before November 21st. Divisional games and rivalry matchups were prioritized to receive maximum flexibility. It's a quote from Big Ten Associate Commissioner Kerry Kenny. Nice. Said, quote, it had 41 different options to kind of slide something out and slide it back in somewhere else. So, like, the reality, they put a lot of thought into this, and I get, you know, because we've seen the ACC and the SEC. What are you laughing at?
I keep picturing Bill Moose with 41 different, like, team blocks playing Jenga. He's like, I've got it.
Oh, man. I hate you. This has to be your fault, doesn't it?
I think so.
Oh, Bill Moose's ranch has just infiltrated this pod.
Playing
should
Jenga
we just name this? The title of this pod should be Bill Moose's Ranch. But okay. So I get that the SEC and the ACC, they have later start dates because there's probably surges in that area of the country and all that stuff. But yeah. I've thought, like, it doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't start it as soon as possible to give you the maximum amount of flexibility to get in these games. Because as we've already seen, when you're out of a bubble, like Major League Baseball, here's the thing people got to get comfortable with as the season. There's probably going to be some cancellations, some postponements, some outbreaks. You got to be willing to deal with that, plow forward, but you also got to allow yourself flexibility to be able to still get in the games.
Yeah, to me, like this is I think a win for the Big Ten in the sense of if SEC and ACC are going to start, you know, with a
like September 19th or 26th
delayed schedule. That means you get even more eyeballs on you, which is, I think, always such a win to be kind of the focal point. And like, I mean, I think it's a definite almost advantage, I think, for Nebraska.
Well, I mean,
for this year.
That first weekend. Now, I don't think the Big 12 announced their start date yet. I'm not sure if they have, but either way, I mean, the Illinois and Ohio State play on September 3rd, that Thursday. You know how many people are going to be watching that game?
Oh, my gosh.
And then I think there's games on September 4th, which is the Friday, and then September. So, like, it's going to be a Big Ten. I mean, they're going to own that area of the calendar, which is great. I like the structure of it. I was hoping this entire time, not because I want football, that's a part of it, but also I think you need to give yourself as much time as possible. So yeah. I like – shouts out to Kevin Warren and Jenga 41 going on in there. They're saying testing going to be twice a week. They're going to have a third-party lab that's going to do all the testing for Big Ten once Big Ten play gets – once the season starts for consistency and credibility. They're also going to work on potentially a rapid test for the day of the game. So, I mean, they're doing all they can. I just feel like they're giving themselves the best chance to, like, play and finish the season. Right? That's all you wanted from Jenga 41 of Bill Moose's ranch. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we get to the meaty stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm over laughing. I'm not going to laugh
anymore. Are we done laughing?
I almost laughed.
Are you done? I can't even look at you.
I'm just thinking about Bill Moose. I want to laugh. I don't know why. I just do. I love Bill Moose, but everything about today is just hitting.
I just can't believe we've never even talked. Like, this isn't like some sort of inside joke we've had for months. Like, this is the first time we've ever created a thing where Bill Moose and his ranch, like, infiltrate every one of his conversations.
I don't even know how we started on that either.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the Nard Dog would bring in Cornell into everything.
Yeah.
Like, at Cornell, I knew a guy. And like that, I feel like Moose is that with his ranch. That's what we've created here. That's our stupid creativity.
This is what we've done to Bill Moose. But Bill Moose is great. We love
Shout out to Bill
Moose.
Yeah. You can come on the pod anytime, dog. You can come on the pod anytime. We'll talk about his ranch. He would love that.
I think he would like that.
So obviously one of the first things you did when you look at the schedule is like, okay, start date, then who you playing. September 5th at Rutgers.
We all went.
I mean, you're
in,
like,
we're in the hornet's nest.
I mean, they're the, like, it is Corona Island there, pretty much. It's good because, they're, I mean, the Rutgers are not very good. So you're kind of like, everybody wants to, of all the teams, you'd rather play at Rutgers probably than at Ohio State to start the season.
Well, in Rutgers, they just had their little outbreak they're dealing with. So let me ask you this question. Rutgers has to do a full team quarantine is what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
How much of an advantage does Nebraska have over Rutgers if Rutgers is going to quarantine for, let's say, 10 more days?
I mean,
and Nebraska's going to practice.
Oh, I think they got a huge advantage. I mean, huge, right?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to gather right now.
Well, I'm at the point where I'm nervous this game's going to get canceled because of, like, if they're, I mean, I think they had, because there was an outbreak of staff and players where I think some of it stemmed from a party, but yeah. They had like 28 positive tests between, like,
yeah.
So one of the things, you know, again, it's good because they're not a very good team. It's bad because they're currently quarantined, and who knows what ends up happening with their ability to play that game. And then you're also like, there's an element of like, geez, you know, you talk about safety, and it's like, I mean, of all the teams to draw from a COVID standpoint, I'm not sure there's a program that's had a more rough 4 months with coronavirus than Rutgers.
Well, I'm just imagining this. I haven't been reading like what the Rutgers players have been doing, but Nebraska sort of had the flexibility. It's like, yeah, we're you know, things shut down here, but players were finding ways to get to gyms and work out and throw the ball around. And I think that gets a little bit more difficult when you're living in New Jersey.
Totally.
Dude. You know what I'm saying? Totally. Like it was a stricter lockdown to me where I got to think that is the accumulative effect of living in New Jersey versus living in Nebraska is a net positive for Nebraska 100 times.
Overall, I think from the standpoint of just the game, great draw. Mm-hmm. Like, great draw. From the standpoint of COVID, you know, you get concerned that this game could get canceled, and then you get concerned about, like, I mean, Nebraska is going to be traveling to the frickin' to Ronaville. I mean, they're going to Ronaville, brother. The Rona Rutgers. I mean, that's what they're. So you get a little nervous about that. The other factor on this, who's going to be potentially their starting quarterback? Vedrill.
Oh my gosh, it's right.
Noah Vedrill
without a spring.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. But it's a brand new staff. They got Greg Schiano.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, he might very well be the starter, but...
Well, he's going to be intimately involved in this next month from the standpoint of, like... And that's always... Isn't this kind of weird? Where, like, think about how Noah Vedrill has been, like, willing to take a bullet for Scott Frost. And listen, we love Noah, and it's fine that he left and all that stuff. But, like, all of a sudden now, guess who one of the first phone calls Greg Schiano probably made, too? Was probably Noah and said, hey, Noah... Whenever you get a chance, I need you to come into my office and tell me every single thing you know about terminology, calls, all this stuff, so we can get as ready to rock as possible.
Who did we – there was an NFL player that this happened to, I want to say last year, where he got – you know, he got cut and he got – or he got traded, and his new team basically was like, hey, tell us what – he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, there was some
– and there was a – And then I think we even talked about it in the sense of where do your loyalties
really
lie?
Because
as much as I feel like Noah Vedrill, you know, he'll be loyal and he won't tell everything. It's like, well, shouldn't he tell everything if he plays for Rutgers?
I think he probably
like,
should.
If I'm on Rutgers and Noah's not like, here's their signals, here's their hand signals, here's their blah, 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 I would be pissed. I'd be like, dude, we're trying to win this game. You know this.
He has to. As much as it sucks to say, he's got to tell them everything he knows. He's on Rutgers. He's a Rona Rutgers now. He's not
he's
a Nebraska
a Rona,
Husker.
Dude.
He's a Rona bro now. Like, that's what he is. So, but it's just interesting. So there's like 1,000 different things with this game.
Nick, it never even crossed my mind when I saw that. Now that you said that's such a big advantage for them though, because Greg Schiano's a defensive guy and, you know, literally, I think Noah Vedrill could sit there on the sideline
and
be
tell
like,
them everything.
Be like, it's this, you know, it's most likely going to be this. Like,
right.
He'll be able to see the signals and the, like, otherwise, you know, we're going to have to really, I mean, I think we change our, you know, some of our our calls and our pictures and our things. I mean, they'll have ways around sure. that, preparing for it, but it's still like, it means we have to do way more work for Noah Vedral, just so he doesn't get, we don't give it away too easily.
Totally. And then, I mean, the other thing is that, and we'll get more into this later on. I mean, now you're trying to like, there's been so many reports and different stories over the past handful of months. It's hard to remember all of them. I want to say Rutgers was one of the places that has like, they're going to have no fans. At least it was announced yeah. like in, so there's a chance, like literally there's zero people there. Mm-hmm. But so that's where things start. The other thing you're wondering, okay, what's the start date? Who's that opponent?
Yeah.
The other thing that everybody was wondering, who's going to be that 10th game? What's the crossover East Division opponent that Nebraska is going to draw? So the options that they had were Michigan, Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan State. The team they picked up was Michigan State. They're going to play them in Lincoln on November 21st. Once again, of all the options, I'm not so sure if you would have given Nebraska, hey, you get to pick. I'm not so sure you don't pick Michigan State. They have a brand new coaching staff, Mel Tucker. Now, he has coached against Nebraska for two straight years coming from Colorado.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, brand new staff. They've had basically no time, and you could have said the same thing about Rutgers. They've had no time to install anything. I mean, think about a brand new staff, and you don't get any spring ball. You don't get any, like, where you're not able to install yeah. any of that stuff. They've had outbreak issues and having to shut down workouts a ton as well. I think all things considered, you just didn't want it to have it be Michigan. I think it's a pretty good addition.
Maryland may have been a better pickup in my book than Michigan State. I think only for the reason – I think Michigan State is maybe a little bit more talented, but I think the fact that Mel Tucker just played us 2 years in a row and beat us 2 years in a row.
Yeah, there's something to that.
I think that he'll have a feel for Nebraska that is an advantage for him right now too. Is I don't know if he took his whole coaching staff
with
him.
Not sure.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like coaching versus somebody in your own conference every year, right? Like
yeah, the familiarity makes a difference, yeah.
But like you kind of know this is what they do, right? So now he's played 2 years in a row, they have a feel for it.
He's familiar with personnel, he's familiar with pet plays. Hey, they liked this on third down the past few years. They like whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But overall, like if we would have done power rankings of teams like from easiest to hardest in terms of those four options of like I'd have put Michigan State one, then Maryland, then Indiana, then Michigan.
Yeah.
You caught a break to a certain extent. Where Nebraska didn't catch a break is in what is the brutal four-game stretch in weeks 3 through 7. So Nebraska will start the season at Rutgers. Then they're going to kick off their home slate on September 12th against Illinois. And then you have a brutal four-game stretch for Nebraska. Wisconsin in Lincoln, then at Iowa, then Minnesota in Lincoln, and then at Ohio State. And in all reality, I could expand it to a really tough six-game stretch because Nebraska has a bye week. Then they're at Northwestern. That game has always been close. And then they got Penn State coming to Lincoln right after that. So shit gets tough for a six-game stretch, but really that four-game stretch is really hard.
What I like is that we got Rutgers and we got Northwestern and Purdue on the road, though.
Yeah.
I do like that. But going back to your four-game stretch, I think, with the break, it's kind of makes sense to look at it as that's our four-game season in my book. Like, if we go 2-2 in that four-game stretch, that's a win coming out of there. Because you got Wisconsin, Ohio State, Minnesota, and Iowa, two West teams that are projected to be, you know, to sure. beat us in the West. I think going 2-2 there is actually like, it's a win for us.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at it and, you know, we can just kind of get this started with kind of a game by game. Like, You got to start 2-0.
Got to.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, with that tough four-game stretch, if you got an L in under your belt heading into that four-game stretch, that's not good. But it's feasible. You know, if you start 2-0 and then go 2-2, I mean, you start 4-2 and you've played, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio State, and you're 4-2.
You're feeling pretty good about your last four games. Then, if you're 4-2, then you're going on a 10-game season, and then you feel like you can beat your last year's, you know, win total, get like to what would be quote unquote bowl eligible, even in a normal year
with less games.
With less games, I think that's a big time. I mean, winning 5 or 6 games in this schedule is a win next year.
I mean, I think it's for me when I go when I would go through this. I mean, do you want to do like I? Because when I would go through it, I kept on arriving at a certain record. But you want to do this? Just like people don't hold us to this. By the time the first game comes around, we might have an altered thing. It is hard, you know, because we're so starved. Like you and I were joking, you get this schedule now, and you're like, "Shit, man, 9-1,
hey baby,
9-1, dog."
I'm having my. I get you. What it is August though. This is my August syndrome.
Kool-Aid.
Every you get year, Kool-Aid? I'm pretty cool. Then it's like right when the season rolls around, I start getting.
What is that?
Well, you know, it's like I saw a couple of videos online. They showed some of our dudes in the weight room, and you're just like,
you see Nash, they're large, squatting 10,000.
Yeah, it's like he squatted 10,000.
Oh, okay. Can't lose. Here we go. Rutgers at Rutgers, win.
Huskers win. Yep.
Then Illinois at home,
win.
I'm gonna go win. Even I don't care. I mean, it's not gonna be full capacity, even though Moose wants to, you know, take the ranch mentality. Yeah. So the thought of like Memorial Stadium and playing football, it's just so exciting. Illinois win. So we're at 2-0.
Yep.
Here comes the tough stretch. Wisconsin at home. I'm going win.
At home?
Yeah. It's in Lincoln.
Well, if you're going win, I'm going win.
You're going to stick with me?
I'm not letting – if you're going with – if you believe in Wisconsin –
I love Wisconsin.
That's what I'm saying. If you believe in Nebraska, Wisconsin, you are kind of a Wisconsin homer.
Oh, I love Wisconsin.
You used to even play Wisconsin a lot.
I've always loved Wisconsin. Like, I always tell people, oddly enough, every weekend, you know where the Nebraska game's at, and you're watching that game. Every weekend, the second game I want to watch is Wisconsin.
I think Wisconsin always had a very leg. It's always been simple, I formation, tough, smart football. You've always appreciated the simplicity of Wisconsin.
Well, it's what we kind of grew up on. Like, I grew up on smash mouth, run the ball, set up play action, great running backs. Even like they're I love watching them play defense. They're aggressive. Their linebackers are always really good. Yeah. Like
Jim Leonard, defense coordinator.
Fantastic.
He does a good job.
But I just think the reality is I could do the cop-out thing of like between Wisconsin and Iowa. Like at some point they got to win some of these games. Between Wisconsin and Iowa, I think you're going to get a split. And I just feel like you're more likely to win that game at home than you are on the road. But at the same time, Iowa's had a lot of turmoil. Maybe do you want to flip that? Should we immediately abort?
If you go – so I was actually going to have them reverse. I was going to have a loss to Wisconsin and beat Iowa.
Okay. That probably makes more. That probably makes more sense. I always had a tumultuous offseason.
So I think, especially with Iowa and Minnesota, we have to talk about their off seasons and how that affects their upcoming year.
Because Iowa, they start the season Maryland at home, and then they're at Purdue and at Minnesota, and then Nebraska comes to town. So they're probably. I mean. Who knows what I mean? They could be 1-2, but they could also be 2-1.
I bet you they are 2-1 or 3-0.
Hey guys, quick break to talk to you guys about Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to make sure that you guys understand that Pella Windows of Omaha and Lincoln, they are following CDC guidelines during this coronavirus situation. They can safely serve any of your window and door needs in the showroom or in your home. All the employees at Pella and the customers are completing a COVID-19 questionnaire as provided by the CDC prior to entering the showroom, entering the office, and any potential customer's home. And all the employees are required to self-quarantine for a recommended 14 days if that individual comes into contact with someone who's tested positive, if they traveled anywhere outside of the Omaha-Lincoln area. Bottom line, they are taking all the necessary precautions to make sure that they are safe and you are safe so you can safely move forward with your window and door needs. And on top of all that, as a result of all this stuff with the coronavirus, Pella is offering temporary special financing options. They are now available. So, man, now is the time to take advantage of these special rates and put that value back into your home, and you have that peace of mind knowing that all the necessary safety protocol and precautions have been put into place by Pella, so you know the whole time you can feel safe. Give Pella a call, 402-493-1350, or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. I think either way, I think we think they split one of those two games.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking they're going to... So
I can't sit here and tell you they're going to win both those games. More likely they lose both of them than win both of them.
Yeah, I'm saying my real opinion is they lose Wisconsin, they beat Iowa.
Okay. You know what? I'm a fickle guy. I'm going with that.
Okay.
Lose to Wisconsin, beat Iowa. Then Minnesota at home. This is where it is really important. The Rashad Bateman kid, big time... is he a potential like first or second round wide receiver?
Yeah, so he was an all Big Ten receiver, and I think he's the only like first round receiver I think in the Big Ten right now that we kind of have, and I think that was part
stuff
of the decision.
Makes a difference, man.
He goes, I think he thought, if I get sick and it sets me back at all, what's the point? And I think, you know, who knows exactly what his reasoning is. Maybe he's got family. Maybe he just doesn't care. I don't know. But he's decided to sit out, and he's their best player probably.
Mm-hmm.
And he is their best offensive player for sure, which changes the whole dynamic of their team.
Because they're a big part of, correct me if I'm wrong, a big part of what they do is they kind of gash you, and take deep shots.
Yep.
And he's their deep shot guy.
Yep.
And you lose that element. That's a big thing. As we saw last year, when you can't really take the top off,
it's hard, man.
And
guess what? This is the second part. They didn't get a chance to spend spring and summer working on a different plan. Like,
right.
He was their plan, and now they got to go, okay, who else can play? How are we going to – they're going to have to change their game up a little bit, which, you know, it's amazing. All this stuff, like – of all the things that have happened, like you're seeing Iowa with their issues and their morale issues probably that go with that. And with Minnesota now, these are two teams in the West that like things are tough.
Yeah.
Things for Rutgers and Michigan State, tough. Where like Nebraska, I just have this feeling like Nebraska, and that's maybe why I'm so excited, is like incrementally getting little advantages because we've handled this pretty darn well. Everybody's still here. You know, we've got a lot of people coming back. Like, little things like that are starting to add up in our favor.
Do you think, you know, because every – you know it is in the locker rooms heading up to games. Like, I do think there is – like, I think revenge is somewhat real. Like, a real thing. Like, we owe these dudes. They, you know, like, think about it. Like, I don't think – is it crazy to think that, like – remember, in Frost's first year, one of the teams that Nebraska blasted was Minnesota.
Yep.
And then you flip the next year. I guarantee you that whole week leading up, Fleck was like, we owe these guys. Then they blast Nebraska. Like, I just think Nebraska should be, like, they should be ready to play against Minnesota.
That's probably, if you were to pinpoint a revenge game, I mean, Iowa is always going to be there. But Minnesota was the real, what I felt like was a beatdown last year.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, I mean, Ohio State's the biggest beatdown, but that's also like, you can explain that
Chase
a little
Young,
bit.
You're just like,
yeah, it's like, okay, it. they're like, it's pros versus Joes.
Wisconsin was different. Minnesota was a beatdown. Wisconsin was just a little bit of a letdown.
The most embarrassing game was the Minnesota game to me.
Yeah, that was it.
So I think there's something to that. So I think Nebraska's going to beat Minnesota.
I do too. With literally, if you would have asked me that this morning, I would have been like, I don't know. With this Bateman, I think that changes Minnesota's season. And they won't want to admit that. I think it completely changes their season.
Well, and oh, by the way, Nebraska's opponent a couple weeks later, Penn State, there's been reports out that Micah Parsons, who is pretty much the preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, who's a projected first round talent at defensive end. I mean, he's a stud. Him being out is huge too, because that makes a difference, you know.
Yep.
So then we got a win versus Minnesota. So now Nebraska's, what are they at, 3-1?
4-1.
No, 4-1.
Yep.
Then at Ohio State, loss.
Yep.
Loss. That, because, by the way, you check their schedule, Ohio State's got a bye week before they play Nebraska. So they're going to be able to heal up. They're going to be able to maybe get guys back that have been. I mean, what's funny is, like, one of the X factors for all this is, like, coronavirus stuff. You know, like, that's almost like, you know, you got to stay healthy. You, usually when you think of that, you think of, like, shoulders and knees and, like, ankles. Stuff.
Avoid,
like, you,
coronavirus.
Avoid coronavirus.
I mean, this season is like, if you're a gambling man, right? Like, if you gamble on games, you're not just crazy. You're insane this year because it's like whatever you think you're betting on, this coronavirus is in there, like, making the odds go from, like, oh, it's 1 in 100 to, like, 1 in 1,000,000 because...
Well, because you could have...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about... It was funny. I talked to... You know, I had my Vegas gambling guy in my pod last week, Payne, and we talked a lot about this stuff. And one of the things he brought up is, like, I think the reality is you got to wait unless you're trying to, you know, you have different things with key numbers. He talks about with 7 or 3 points or whatever. Like, you probably got to wait till right before kickoff to place a bet so you know who's available.
Like, you, like, if you make a bet, a lot of times people place the bet when the odds are better, right, early in the week or something, and they get, oh, I got great odds.
Some guy could get Rona, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you get Rona on Friday or something.
Right.
Because they're testing twice a week.
Twice
now,
a week,
right?
And then I think they're working on rapid testing the day of the game.
That day of the game test, though, is like, that's...
I mean, imagine that.
Imagine if it's like a big game and you get like a false positive.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
know.
Oh,
my God.
Brutal, he right? So, okay, though. So there's the tough four-game stretch. I think Nebraska can go 2-2. And maybe I am totally insane, psycho.
No reason not, but we've seen these teams the last few years. I mean, we know what they are. They know what we are. It's just a matter of, like, who got better.
They were right there with Iowa.
We were there.
I mean, so I think they can go 4-2.
Yeah.
If they go four and two,
what a win that is for Nebraska. That is just huge.
If they can go 4-2, that is enormous. So then Nebraska gets their first bye week on October 17th. Then they travel to Northwestern. That game, for some reason, that game is always a game you want to just chalk up a win. But it's like, they're, in terms of year in and year out, what game is always crazy drama, crazy close. It's Northwestern every year. But with all that said, I think Nebraska is going to win that game.
Yeah, I'll take that W.
I'm going to take that dub. Then Penn State at home. I just think Penn State, they're, to me, like, the Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan, but really Penn State, Ohio State, they have, like, separated themselves from just a raw talent standpoint.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons or no Micah Parsons, that, like, Nebraska's just not quite there yet. So I'm going to say Nebraska loses to Penn State.
I'd agree with that.
So what are they're at now, 5-3?
Yep.
Then they have their second bye week of the season. And, God, I mean, then you got...
Weren't we at Purdue last year, too?
That's what I don't... And we were... One thing I don't understand about the schedule is Nebraska was supposed to play... They were supposed to start the season against Purdue on September 5th in Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's weird that they swapped that out for Rutgers and... But whatever. I mean, that's part of that. I mean, I'm guaranteed this. Because I bet if you're Wisconsin, you're going, we played at Nebraska last year. Why do we have to play... I mean, Wisconsin's having to play at Nebraska 2 straight years. You know?
That's odd. That is very odd.
I mean, so, but Nebraska's at Purdue. I got a lot of respect for Jeff Brohm.
I'd take that, though. Wisconsin at home 2 years versus and take Purdue away. Oh, yeah. You take
that. Oh, it's a great deal.
That's a win for us.
That's a great deal.
We were away at Wisconsin, right?
We were supposed to be at Wisconsin this year.
At
Nebraska's supposed to be at Wisconsin this season.
Yeah, good. That's a good swap. Hey, take that.
Take that. I think between, I guess, you know, everybody does it this way, but you always group certain games that are similar together and you kind of go, hope for a split. I look at Northwestern, at Purdue, I think you hope for a split.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think they're going to get a split. So I think I'm going to say they beat Northwestern and lose to Purdue.
I think that's probably more fair. I always look, it's hard though, when you look at it in a group, like when you look at something of like, if you looked at the four games, you know, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio State. If you look at them as a four package, you say 2-2. If you go through individually game by game, I go 3-1. Same way with Northwestern Purdue. If I look at them individually, win, I say win-win. Yeah. If I look at them in a package, I go,
yeah, you just go
I'll take the split. I don't know what it is about when you look at them, you start seeing the odds of like,
well, I think
I don't know.
I think the reality is like, I mean, Nebraska hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt over the last handful of years. No. But what's hard, though, is Nebraska's also been like, I think you could look at it like, man, they've lost all these teams, but they're, and this is a horrible strategy to have with like how you're, like at some point, all these, I don't want to say unlucky breaks, but it just seems like every single year for the past 4, 5, 6 years, Nebraska's just, especially the last two, been on the wrong side of a lot of those breaks. And like at some point, I got to think things are going to start kind of flipping.
I don't know that they are going to be. Here's the thing, though: if I give them Purdue and Michigan State wins, which I was going to do, that puts them at 7-3, and I go, that's really wishful thinking. I think 6-4 is probably a better, more reasonable estimate. So I'm going to give them this. I'm going to do the split, look at it as a package, and say
that's
take Northwestern, lose to Purdue at, you know, away, and then beat Michigan State at home.
So
because it's just 7-3 seems like it's just more wishful thinking than
that's reality. How I decide. Like when I've gone through this, I think Nebraska can go 6-4. I think they're gonna. I think wins at Rutgers, Illinois, at Iowa, Minnesota, at Northwestern, and then I think they're gonna beat Michigan State. I think their loss is gonna be Wisconsin at home, at Ohio State, at Purdue, and Penn State in Lincoln, and that gets them to 6-4. I wrote these things down, you know, because I love, you know, having these types of titles. Swing. I wrote down a swing game and a sleeper game.
Okay.
The swing game of the season to me is Minnesota at home. I think when you really put a pen to paper, I think that's that game. You're coming off back to back games against Wisconsin and at Iowa, and then you peek ahead to the week before, to the next week, you're at Ohio State. It's just a huge game that Nebraska, if they can win that game, I think that strikes me as they could be 4-2. Things could be going well. If you lose that game, you just played at Iowa City. You know you got to go to Columbus next week. Then you're staring down the barrel of maybe losing 3 games in a row, depending on how things fall. I just think that Minnesota game at home is huge.
Well, when you think about Minnesota in general, they have become such a problem for us because Minnesota, since we've gotten to the Big Ten, was always kind of like we could overlook them. They were never our main threat, right? It's always been Wisconsin and Iowa. Like, that's you when you're in the West, it's Wisconsin and Iowa. And then, you know, you got the big dogs of Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, right? There's 5 teams you worry about. Everybody else, you kind of just go, those are the games we win, and how do we beat these other teams? Now, with the rise of Minnesota in the Western Conference, it's put more pressure on that game than even the other ones because they're now taking the place of potentially us in our division, which makes us, no offense, irrelevant if we can't be better than Minnesota. Because you know what? Iowa and Wisconsin are going to be Iowa and Wisconsin.
Right.
So if we're not in the mix with Iowa, Wisconsin, and we fall behind Minnesota, like, I don't know, it puts us in a really bad spot if we can't figure out how to beat Minnesota every year. Which, Nick, I'm telling you, we for a long time could and just kind of just...
That's a good point. I mean, just
when we didn't even approach them as like they're on our... Like if they beat us, it was like it was our letdown.
Right.
And now they've made this rise where we're on even playing fields. And that's a little scary because we gotta jump them again and bring them back down to sort of like what we trample on.
Agree. So I put that as a swing game. And maybe this is because I have the same school of thought for my sleeper game. And it's literally like the exact same school of thought. My sleeper game is Illinois, Illinois in week 2. Mainly because...
It's not a given.
It's not a given. I mean, I just pulled up. Remember, you know who beat Wisconsin last year? Illinois did. Illinois had a stretch last year where they beat Wisconsin, they hammered Purdue, they hammered Rutgers, they beat Michigan State, they lost a really close game to Iowa. Like, they went to a bowl game. Illinois did. They lost to Cal, but they got an extra month of practice. And you know, you can laugh and giggle all you want. Like, Lovie Smith is Lovie Smith's not an idiot.
Yeah, he's a good defensive coordinator.
And that was a tough game last year that Nebraska had to have a pretty amazing second half to win that game.
Tell me what you think about this. They start out with Ohio State, though.
Yeah.
What does that do to their trajectory?
I think it's so early. It could only there is such a low expectation team that could only help. Like, yeah. If they get blasted, to me, I don't want to say they have nothing to lose because they're like, but they get blasted. I don't think they never really thought they were going to win that game anyways.
It doesn't knock the wind out of their
sails.
It
doesn't knock the wind out of their sails.
But if they play them tough, it might put them on
confidence. So I feel like it only helps them.
Yeah.
But it's the same school of thought that I had with Minnesota. And one of the reasons that's also a sleeper game is you got to win that game because of the 4-game stretch that follows it. Yeah. You lose that game, and all of a sudden now you begin the murderer's row of Wisconsin.
With no momentum.
With zero momentum. Yeah. Wisconsin at Iowa, Minnesota, and at Ohio State. You're in trouble. So to me, I'd put the sleeper as Illinois week two at home.
Okay, take a look at this. So back to Minnesota, because remind me of they had a shaky start last year where they squeaked by some bad teams.
Yeah. I
think they went 4-0 and squeaked by some bad, bad teams.
They won their first three games, I want to say, in the final 90 seconds of the game. They scored a touchdown to win. I'm trying to pull it up. And that's what we talked about, the psychology of things. They blasted New Mexico State, but then Fresno State, they won 21-14. They had some close ones at the start. I think I'm off a year here in what I pulled up, but yeah, Fresno State, Georgia Southern, South Dakota State. Those are the first three games. Sorry, I was looking at the year before. Where they had to grind to win those games. And then Nebraska came.
And then that's where they took off after beating us.
Yes.
We springboard them like we do everybody. They've been waiting for 50 years to do this to us.
Right.
Not to be
They beat South Dakota State 28-21. They beat Fresno State in overtime 38-35. They beat Georgia Southern on a last-second touchdown 35-32. Then they beat Purdue 38-31. Then they beat Illinois and then smashed Nebraska. And then things kind of took – then all of a sudden they're – like, they could have lost all three of the games to start the season, and it's a totally different season.
You just are not the same team. So I'm looking at our schedule, but then I look over at Minnesota. And Minnesota, who's had a rough start last year, starts with Michigan State. Not going to be terrible. I think they win that game. But it's never easy. Sometimes that first game's not easy.
Especially on the road. That's one thing that makes me nervous about Nebraska. Like, going on the road to start the year is just not great.
Not great. But then, so Minnesota goes Michigan State, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, then us. So I'm looking at this. You know, you say that Minnesota game's the swing game, and I think we both agree, has become as important as any game during the year. And I'm just looking at the schedule. I'm going, man, I go, that's a night. That change up, I think, puts Minnesota in a tough place, and their best player just said he's not playing. So your safety net on offense, your best player, is not going to be there to bail you out. So if they play anything like they've been, they lose those type of games. You don't have your best player.
Right.
And they're going to go. They're going to play Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin right before us. Like, I really like the way that lays out.
Yeah. I mean, because it's feasible that they're sitting at 1-3 coming to Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that's possible. Because I think you look at Minnesota, they're somewhere, you know, I don't think they're – I think Fleck's a good coach. I really do. I don't think they were as good as their final record indicated. Like, I think they just kind of caught a wave.
They caught a wave, and they were playing just such sound football.
But again, a huge part of it is Bateman. Like, you got to have, like, the way they play,
and the way defenses have to defend them changes when you have to put somebody over the top, somebody else.
Right.
All of a sudden, it gets way easier. Now, if you have a receiver that's not that scary, and you just say, hey, why don't you just cover that guy, no help, and we're going to just blitz, or we're going to bring this guy down the box, or we're going to just, you know, the things you can do when you don't have to worry about that guy.
Like, totally.
Dude, I'm telling you, it makes a big difference. And also that schedule, like, you know, they got to limp into the season and didn't get punished for not being ready to play.
So the initial, when the Big Ten announced they were moving to 10 games, they didn't announce the schedule yet, but they announced they were moving to 10 games. Vegas set Nebraska's over-under win total at 3.5. But now with the schedule actually out, I'll be interested to see if Vegas alters that, because I tell you right now, 3.5,
I'll take the over.
I will take over on that. So I guess my question to you is, what is the... I think the best way to describe setting an over-under number is that number that makes you squirm either way. So, like, would you say, is it 5?
5's probably the best. Like, our optimistic selves went with 6-4. Our really optimistic self tried to do 7-3 until we walked it back. But 5's probably the real number.
So, like, if I had to make... a lot. If I had to make you sweat, I'd set it at 5. Because you kind of go, you take the under, you're like, God, they got Michigan State at home. They got Illinois at home. They play Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, like their road divisional games aren't brutal. Like, but then if you take the over at 5, you're like, 6 is pretty confident. You know, I mean, we put 6, but it's like, that it takes some confidence, you know? I mean, because for me, I put, you know, in terms of like the ceiling, for this season, I'd put it 7 wins. This is hard for me to think that they anything higher than that. And the floor, is the floor 3 wins?
2.
2 wins, probably?
Yeah, I mean, if they lose to Illinois in your sleeper game,
yeah,
that could... I just haven't seen this team yet.
You lose one of the first 2 games. Yeah.
Bounce back enough. You know, it was like the year one, you know, like...
Each year,
we get a game canceled and we blow the Colorado game, and instead of being 2-0, which we should have been, we're 0-1, and then we lose the next 5. Like that's the type of situation. The worst case scenario is probably we beat Rutgers, lose to Illinois, and wins out of our sails, and we just putter 4 in a row away. Right?
Right. That's where I think, as much as anything, kind of the case in point we were talking about with Minnesota, where. For as much as what made their season be great, it was like they started believing and mentally getting momentum and confidence. You lose one of those first 2 games, Rutgers or Illinois, and that's not good.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I would say the ceiling is 7 wins, and the floor is, I mean, that's quite a... But that's
Nick,
also... The floor is 2, but that's also the Mark Bowe of that's kind of like describes Nebraska perfectly, where... The good teams, you know, like you look at Ohio State, you'd be like, yeah, their ceilings 10-0, their floors 8.
Yeah.
You know, like the better you are, the smaller that gap between your ceiling and floor.
Penn State's probably like 9, and they're like 6-9. Wisconsin's 6-9.
Right.
Iowa's probably 5-8.
Minnesota's
5-8.
Yeah.
But
Nebraska, you know, I mean, I honestly, like, I could see that, like, If they went 7-3, I mean, it'd be like, holy crap.
Good year, I look at the schedule and I go, I mean, like, can you beat Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Rutgers, Northwestern, Purdue, and Michigan State? Like, well, yeah, you think you should be able to. It's just actually going out there and doing it and not, you know, shooting yourself in the foot like we always do. That's all we're talking about. And
right.
So it's funny. I feel better almost looking at the schedule than I did.
Why do we have confidence? I'm totally with you. Is it just the excitement of getting it? And
I think the way our schedule was lined up, one, Wisconsin was on the road with the old schedule. I mean, all we did was add Michigan State and we take away Cincinnati, who
we were
was,
talking about that. Like, honestly,
I didn't
right
like
now,
that game.
Would you rather, what game are you more confident Nebraska winning? Cincinnati in Lincoln or Michigan State in Lincoln? I'm not so sure it's not Michigan State.
It's Michigan State. I mean, Cincinnati is a top 25 team that is like playing great football.
And again, I can't express how hard. I mean, you can speak to this better than I can. Like, it is hard when you have a brand new staff. Think of when Bill Callahan came in and Kevin Cosgrove came in and all, and you didn't get a spring ball. Your off season meetings and workouts and all that stuff was all cut. Like, you know how hard that would be to just all of a sudden you got a brand new system and you got to try to install this in a couple of weeks. And
I mean, Michigan State and Rutgers are both. I mean, I feel for them, man. That's
now
tough.
The one thing that is at least if you're looking at it like where it could get tough is Michigan State's gonna have the whole season to figure themselves out. That's the last game of the season for Nebraska.
Sure.
So Michigan State's going to have all season to try to kind of find themselves. But nevertheless, they're not going to be very good. So, yeah, I think the ceiling is 7 wins. I think the floor is probably 2 wins. And you talk about Nebraska described in a nutshell. It's that.
We probably have I would say we arguably have the biggest range in terms of our win-loss record. I don't see anybody else that has that sort of variance potential.
If and we'll get more into this because we're going to get deep into it. I got a bunch of fun stuff I want to do with personnel. But like, man, if Omar Manning is what everyone thinks he is,
I heard
the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Well, I heard a little tidbit on him.
You heard that he's okay.
I heard that he's pretty good. And that's not a joke. Like, I heard, like...
Really?
I think, like, he's been at practice for a couple days, and...
I mean, you can tell, probably, like, okay, that guy is...
I think it's one of those things where, like, yeah, that guy's good. That guy's really... You know, like, we'll see what he does yet.
I will say this. Is there maybe too much emphasis put on measurables in sports of, like, you know, this guy's this, this, and this in terms of height, weight, all this stuff? Yeah, maybe. But there's kind of something, you know what is just translates is someone that's, what is he, 6'4", 220? I mean, it's like 6'4", 220, 6'4", 220 at wide receiver.
But like if you can run and catch and do, like if you can do those things and you're that is kind of what has happened with this guy where like we just haven't had that.
I'm just saying if Omar Manning is who everyone thinks he is, Wandale healthy, and Wandale then also just gets to focus on kind of being that duck R, like, remember last year he was having to be like running back. It was just
too much running back for him.
And Mills keeps his upper trajectory that he had at the end of the year. I don't think Dedrick Mills is like Emmitt Smith, but I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
Martinez gets his mental right, and he's in a good place. And then if Nebraska can get any sort of D-line and linebacker improvement.
Yeah, I think the D-line, and more than anything, pass rush. Like outside linebacker, pass rush. I don't even want to say just outside linebacker. I want to say pass rush, because that invokes the D-line too. But outside linebacker and pass rush is really, I think, going to make the defense. I think everybody else in the defense will be solid.
Right.
D-backs, inside backers, I feel like will be solid. Not spectacular. So it's going to be pass rush. I think the O-line is going to be solid, not spectacular.
You'd assume Cam Jurgens is going to be
Cam's
better.
Going to be good.
Hymus,
you know, I think the other guys they're solid enough, right? They've got experience. Martinez, experience. Mills, experience. Good, not great. Now, the X factor is, can we get Martinez and these receivers rhythm, getting that offense kind of firing how it's supposed to, and then all of a sudden, like, we don't have to play like we did last year, and that's the part I'm really excited to see.
The thing also you've kind of just omitted from your brain from last year was Nebraska didn't have a kicker.
Oh yeah.
So think if Nebraska, I'm not saying they got to have Adam Vinatieri, but think if they have a guy that like gives you some semblance of confidence that can make like a 27-yard field goal.
I mean, it's probably worth a game or two a year. It's worth a game or two, and it's all those little moments like, can you kick it out of the end zone on a kickoff? Can your punter turn the field?
Because they had how many kickoff? They had two kickoff returns given up last year for touchdowns.
Killer times too.
Killers.
Wisconsin, Iowa.
Just, I mean, the special teams was not bad. They were horrible last year. So, you know, there's just a, there's a little stuff there that I don't know. For some reason, I might just be so excited. I'm drunk on emotion of like seeing the schedule.
Nick, it's August. Of course, we're
This is great.
We start pouring that Kool-Aid in August, everybody. You know, Kool-Aid was invented in Nebraska.
What?
It's a fact.
Really?
Yes, that's a fact. Kool-Aid's invented in Nebraska, so that's why we drink that stuff.
You're lying.
I swear on my life.
Seriously?
It's a Nebraska fact. It's like telling people, like, we have this thing called Runza. Like, Nebraska invented,
they invented Kool-Aid.
That's why we drink it so hard.
Well, it must be, because I'm chugging it today. I mean, what is with that? Like, Nebraska has had losing seasons for the last 5 years, and I'm just like, win, win, win. Tell you what, Penn State, you think they're going to come here and
So here's what it is. Here's my philosophy on our what would just happened here.
Yeah.
Okay? This is going to be deep. So.
Okay, I'm ready.
Get your.
I'll put my deep cap on here. I'm ready. Okay? I got it.
Coronavirus. I think initially we thought this hurts us because we need all this work in the offseason, these new receivers, these people that we're depending on. I think the longer this has gone on, I think we are finding that Nebraska is probably the most secure state. And we've handled it really well, and I don't know why. I think that's giving us confidence. The fact that we have a quarterback that's on his third year as a starter, line, you know, we have some positions that I think would be the scariest to have new bodies at,
right,
that are secure. We have a lot of gaps and a lot of work we got to do, so there's no saying like we're ready. We got a long way to go, but when you look around the league, other than those top three teams, I don't know that anybody else is in that much better position. And then with the Minnesota thing today, with Rutgers and in Michigan State with their coronavirus
and
issues.
Penn State's guy,
start seeing the cracks in these other places where I think all we were seeing were our own cracks.
Well, and Iowa and their tumultuous offseason.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying. It's almost weird to see Iowa having these problems.
I think the whole no news is good news. Nebraska's had a quiet offseason.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? They've had a pretty quiet offseason.
No hype until today.
Right.
From us. Right. We're the problem. We're the problem.
And I'm telling you, even like, it'll be, you know, with Rashard Bateman's decision and a Virginia Tech corner who's a projected first or second round guy opted out. I just keep your eye on Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, dude.
For opt outs.
Hey, you want to talk about first round draft choices? They probably got three.
Right.
They usually do. I mean, it's been two or three or four every year.
Just keep your eye on that, you know. And so, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, the longer this went, it initially hurt because it hurt for obvious reasons. But I think what you're pointing out is, like, Nebraska as a program and as a state has handled this bad situation better than a lot of other people have, than a lot of other programs have. And maybe that becomes an advantage.
Yeah, and I feel like our guys have been in there working out
right
all of June, all of July, and they've been doing these, you know, sort of the pre-camp work now, right, unobstructed. So, like, you know, we felt so bad coming out of the season because we missed all of December. All those bowl practices you get, that was our crushing blow, and then not getting spring, we're like, oh, we'll never recover from this now. But I think what we're realizing is, well, other than Purdue, nobody got their spring ball. And when it comes to this sort of off season and this sort of skill work that they're doing right now, I think we're probably handling as good as anybody. So if there's advantages to be had, we may be picking off a little bit of those.
So the next steps here are, you know, I would think we'll know within the next day or two of what Memorial Stadium's plans are. I mean, it's not going to be full capacity. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my guess is like at best 50%. But even that seems crazy to think there's going to be 40,000 people with I don't know. So that's the next. By the way, and maybe we'll see this in another part. Empty stadiums, what kind of advantage, like, what kind of impact does that have for a football game?
So Rutgers has nobody there. I mean, for us, it's traveling, but you don't have that fan momentum that kind of like helps.
Right.
It makes the noise. It make you know those are advantages, but Yeah, Rutgers, I mean, it's not going to feel like a true away game.
No, nor is Iowa. I doubt Iowa is going to be full capacity. You know, Iowa won't feel like a true road game. Ohio State probably won't feel like a legit true road game.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. There you go. Outside of our Bill Moose Ranch and our sports morale being really high on a variety of levels to start this pod, we're at just over an hour.
That's our
you
mark,
need to get yeah. All right. So thank God we didn't drink wine. You got to get to your business meeting, dog.
I work for a living.
You have a job. What are you thinking, man? Why would you have a job?
This is my.
This
job.
Should be your job.
Wine pod soon.
Let's do a wine pod, and we'll get more into this. You know. The personnel and just get a little deeper dive on some of these dudes, all right?
Okay.
Go to your meeting, all right?
I'm going.
GBR, go pick up some Kool-Aid on the way to your meeting and just keep on chugging it.
I'm going to pick up some Kool-Aid and I'm going to the ranch.
I love it. All right, my thanks to Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about a new window or a new front door, now is the perfect time. Give Pella a call at 402-493-1350 or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. We will see you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.
A Parkville Media Production.